Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 28, 1996.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning across all these many, many, many time zones, from the Hawaiian and Tahitian island chains all the way east over flyover country, that's us, to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good morning, everybody. Lots and lots to talk about tonight. It should be a very, very interesting evening. Or is that morning? Depending again on time zone, I guess. A great big welcome to AM 1100 3WE. Some of you might say, what's that? In 38 states, you would not. That is 3WE Cleveland, Ohio, covering about 38 states and filling in a lot of very nice polls for us. And we're very, very happy to be on in Cleveland. So good morning, Cleveland. And we'll open a line for Cleveland and those listening to AM 1100, 3WE, and get an idea of where they go as we get underway. First, a couple of little items. Well, the Whitewater verdicts are in from a jury in Little Rock after 8 days of very careful deliberation. Arkansas Governor Jim Guy Tucker and the Clintons' Whitewater partners, the McDougals, are probably going to go to the pokey for a serious amount of time. Fraud convictions. Conspiracy. 11 counts, the number of counts, I ought to say, 18 of 19 charged against Jim McDougal, his ex-wife Susan, 4 of 4, and Governor Tucker, 2 of 7. The governor, first saying he would not resign but would appeal now, has said he is going to resign as governor of Arkansas. It is a victory, no doubt, for Kenneth Starr. It is politically a big, really a big problem for the Clintons, really a big problem. At least a perception, if not a legal fact, that the jury did not believe the president. Simple as that. The president, as you know, gave videotape testimony. Now, a lot of you probably don't really know what Whitewater is all about. And the simplest way to explain it is to say the McDougals, Susan and Jim, when they were married, ran Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan and did so for the benefit of themselves and friends. That, of course, is not legal. Now, why would this be a problem for the Clintons? Well, again, at least certainly a perception that the jury didn't believe the president. About the only defense they put on was the president. And, of course, on the other side, David Hale testifying that President Clinton brought pressure to make a loan. Now, the president technically, as well as the first lady so far, is not involved. However, this certainly is going to give new life to an investigation that was about to falter, really was already faltering. What next? Well, one thing to think about is the sentences that are going to be meted out to the McDougals and even Governor Tucker could be pretty stiff. Now, there's going to be a period of time when there's going to be appeals and things are going to be going on. And when you're looking at a lot of years in jail, and somebody says, listen, sit down here for a minute. Let's talk. Now, if you can tell us something about the president or the first lady and their involvement, we could perhaps look at a reduction in what we're going to ask for in terms of the next 20 or 30 years of your life. Now, if there is something that one of them would say that would save many years behind bars, soft though they may be, there is a possibility they might say something. So that's kind of where it stands at the moment. There is nothing leading directly to the president nor the first lady, except, of course, perceptually. Politically, it's a problem. The president put the best face on it he could. There's not a very good face that can be put on this, and surely in the White House this morning, the lights are burning late trying to figure out how to spin this the right way. Here's a fact. My grandmother used to say to me that you can always judge a person by the company they keep, no matter what spin the White House puts on today's events. It's going to be difficult to neutralize the damage caused by the verdict in Little Rock. Everybody associated with the Clintons, even the media, has been trying to convince the public there's nothing to Whitewater. Perception is everything in politics. And the public's notion of what went on in Arkansas is in now for a major transformation. Now that is a key phrase, isn't it? And I guess my question to you is exactly that. What now is your perception of the president and first lady? Now, I've been saying for a very long time that if Whitewater goes anywhere, it's going to end up on the first lady's doorstep. And I still believe that today, that ultimately is where it's headed. So you tell me, are you beginning to be suspicious that this is going to go all the way to the highest level? You think the public is going to be so upset with President Clinton that even if it doesn't go to the highest level, they will take it into consideration as they go to the ballot in November? Anyway, it's big news. The president modifying somewhat, but nevertheless continuing to claim that very much like the soldiers and sailors who are covered under the Soldiers and Sailors Act, the president is in even a greater position of importance to the country from a national security perspective, and therefore should not have to face the allegations of Paula Jones. Well, that, of course, caused a great big blow-up everywhere. And so the president's lawyer is modifying, but not substantially changing the claim, and they still are going to claim that very much like the Soldiers and Sailors Act, the president should be protected from an assault, a court appearance, probably an examination. Ooh, how embarrassing that would be. Now we'll see. Going to the U.S. Supreme Court, of course. Well, CBS is going to spend the entire week unveiling the JFK film, new film, Unearthed. And it is interesting, but it does not yet appear to show us anything that we did not already know. So I don't know what to say about that, but we'll watch as the experts look at it frame by frame by frame to see what they can figure out. So far, nothing substantially new. It is election eve in Israel. As a matter of fact, within hours, if not already, the Israelis are going to elect somebody prime minister, Shimon Peres or Benjamin Netanyahu. And I think that, and you know what I was going to ask you? If you were an Israeli, who would you vote for? If it's Peres, then you're voting for a continuation of the peace process. If it's Netanyahu, then you're voting for a hardliner who is not likely to take anything from the Palestinians who have been regularly blowing up Israelis and buses and lots of things. So, would you vote for security with Netanyahu, or would you vote for the prospect or the hope of peace with Peres? Peres probably has got the lead. Taxes. What do you think of the idea of taxing churches? This is a story that ran on, I think, CBS Sunday, and it's very interesting. I had no idea you guys in Colorado were doing this. The money that government loses by exempting churches and other nonprofit entities from property taxes is substantial, including Girl Scouts, museums, hospitals, but most of all, churches. Well, guess what? In Colorado, thousands of people have signed petitions to get the issue on the ballot in November. If the issue should win, the tax exemption for churches, even the Girl Scouts, museums, hospitals, and all the rest of it, would end. Now, your property tax in Colorado would be less because they'd be, you know, carrying a little bit of the load. The opposite argument is these organizations provide services to the entire community. Many of those would close. You know, they house the homeless, feed them, that kind of thing. Should the treasure of God and good be rendered unto Caesar, cutting your property taxes? How do you feel about that? Is that God's treasure? I guess it is. But if that exemption was lifted, and particularly if you're in Colorado, I would love to know how you're going to vote. But no matter where you are, I would like to know how you're going to vote on that. Now, I've got something to tell you, and the new listeners in Cleveland will just be hearing about this for the first time. The rest of you, this will represent a bit of an update, kind of shocking stuff. As you know, I received about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, about 3 weeks ago, what purported to be wreckage from the alleged UFO crash at Roswell, New Mexico. That material is in the process of being tested right now, and we are at a juncture where we have received some very unusual results. Last word not in yet, being tested. Well, guess what? I've got more. The same person has now sent more. I will read you the letter that came with it, and then I will tell you a little bit about it. Mr. Bell, I have listened with interest to the ongoing reports on the samples I sent your way. I noted that the researcher discussing the testing of the samples noted that basically it is aluminum, merely aluminum. Slight variations on the testing, but indistinguishable from normal aluminum. Actually, this is precisely the same initial findings of Granddad's team. However, I neglected to include metallic samples of the exterior of the crashed Roswell disc. I now include the enclosed and can only say these scrapings came from the exterior underside of the disc itself. It literally was a shell-like shielding of the disc, brittle and layered, almost with a prefabricated design and placing. Keep in mind, Mr. Bell, that these are the last of Granddad's samples. Thank goodness. They have sat for years inside a closet with his personal effects because of certain concerns I will not be contacting you on this matter. Perhaps I'm a bit paranoid, but I do have a family and a career to think about. Hope you'll understand. Hope these last samples are helpful. Of course, I will be listening. Signed, as always, a friend. Well, I have posted a copy of this letter on my website. You can take a look. What I can tell you of the samples he sent, they are amazing. They are metal. They are charred, very charred on the outside. Either a result of reentry or entry into the atmosphere, and the resulting heat or a crash, I would have no way of knowing. About, a quarter inch thick, I would say. When examined with a microscope, I can look at the end of it, and it is the most amazing material. There have got to be 40 or 50 sheets of material slammed together. I mean, just sandwiched together to comprise about a quarter inch of thickness. It is remarkable. Now, obviously, these latest pieces are already winging their way toward being tested. And we will have a report for you shortly. I will try and take some photographs, if I can. It'll take a while. And get them up on the website. Incidentally, we continue to get more news of the goat sucker, the thing called the chupacabra, this creature that is either myth or reality, but if it is myth, there are about 2,000 animals that so far seem to have been killed by this myth. We have an alleged picture of a chupacabra, the first. The rest have been drawings. Matter of fact, Hard Copy, I think, is going to be doing a piece on the chupacabra tomorrow night. You're going to want to catch that. I have no idea whether this photograph is real or fake. I never know about these things. People send them to me when I see a good one. I put it on my webpage or put it in the newsletter, however I can do it, to let you take a look. And I would say, so far, about half the people think it is a fake, but they think it is ugly and evil. And the other half think it might be real and ugly and evil. The only thing everybody agrees on is it's ugly and evil. If you want to see a photograph of it, this animal purported to have killed 2,000 animals, goats particularly, oh yes, goats. Then, again, a trip to my webpage will show you all you want to see and more. My webpage address is www.artbell.com. That's www.artbell.com. And, you know, while we're on the subject, I was wondering if our friends at WWE were to have a website address, it would be www.www, if you follow me. I wonder if they do. Anyway, what I'm going to do is, in celebration of AM 1100, 3WE, joining the program, I'm going to reserve my East of the Rockies line for people listening to 1100 3WE. So, everybody else, hold off. The listeners of our brand new 38-state monster in Cleveland, you can call 1-800-825-5033. And please, everybody else, hold off and let them get through. So that ought to give all of you enough to chew on. I've got a lot more here, but I just don't have time to get to it all. A big welfare brouhaha. Oh, this is kind of neat. Art, this coming weekend is the official beginning of the hurricane season. Somebody at the National Hurricane Center has a great sense of humor and must be a listener to your show. The very first hurricane of the season is going to be named Arthur. That's right. Hurricane Art. I predict this hurricane will strike land in the middle of the night, take about a 30 share of the Gulf Coast. Just think, you'll probably be able to talk Hurricane Art in during coast to coast. This will be good practice for talking the comet down into the Nevada desert. All right, we do a kind of a different brand of talk radio here. We don't screen calls. Now, that makes it a little weird every now and then, but fun. It's spontaneous. On any given night, we can go in any direction, and we do, believe me. You'll just have to listen to find out what we're all about, but we are not your granddad's talk radio. In fact, most of the time, I have no idea what we are. We just sort of flow in the night. So if you're new in Cleveland, just listening this morning, buckle down and prepare yourself.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 28th of May, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. I'm telling you, it's going to be a hot one. Art, this is the last straw. Taxing churches. Every day, religious beliefs in America are further marginalized. Religious beliefs are ridiculed, denied, clearly de-emphasized by government, schools, and some media. So this guy is really angry. Doesn't want to tax churches at all. And then this. And then we're off to the telephones. Dear Art, I am a left-wing gay liberal person. I suspect the Clintons no less today than I did yesterday. I never trusted them from the beginning. They're part of the trusted political talent pool, which is much like the trusted Hollywood talent pool. Using a big star, use a big star, and you'll get a big box office hit. Use a big politician and a big amount of money, and you'll get a president. Now, the saddest thing about this ugly truth is, the government, as we so fondly, repeatedly call it, has become about as insignificant as Hollywood in the lives of everyday people. That's why I listen to your show. Because it rarely has anything to do with Hollywood and infrequently has anything to do with politics. If we could only go poof and change every written and spoken expression of the phrase the government with the phrase we the people, perhaps we would all realize what real democracy is. We're not in opposition to the government, but the makings of it. Sincerely, signed, Timothy in Kansas City. To the phones. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. This is Charles from Cleveland.
Charles from Cleveland. Now,
welcome, my friend.
Thank you. That makes you my first Cleveland caller.
Oh, outstanding.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I've been listening to you on WJR in Detroit.
I see.
And out of the Richmond station.
And so there we are, right in your own hometown.
How about that? You know, Art, I started listening. I came in, I guess, at the end of the Republican nominee race.
Oh, yes.
And I want to tell my Cleveland friends that since then, I've been turned on to the Chupacabra, the harp scenario,
yeah.
Storm chasing,
yep.
Dr. Pierce oozing his glossy hate.
Yeah, well, this show, as I said, is all over the map.
And I'm very excited about the arts parts. I can't wait to hear what that's going to be.
Oh, these new ones. Ooh, they're something.
Yeah, you must feel pretty good about being able to receive such invitations to things like that.
Well, now, there's a story to be told there. I'll tell you, my friend, listen on the air, and thank you for welcoming me to Cleveland.
Outstanding.
Take
care.
Be
in touch.
Right. You know, when you first get something like this, you are happy. Wow, look what I've got. Look at this. And then it slowly sinks in on you that it's not so much a blessing as it is a curse. You've just got to trust me on this. People begin bugging you. People that you know, naturally, all want to come over and touch it, right? So I tell people these days, well, you know, it hasn't been tested. Same thing everybody told me. As far as I know, they've not yet tested for radiation. So people go, well, that's all right. I don't need to touch it. But honestly, it is kind of a curse in a lot of ways. We've gone through a very painful period of testing, still with no definitive results. So what have I got? Junk? Maybe. Treasure? Maybe. It's one of the two. In the meantime, it's kind of a pain in the neck if you want to know the truth. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Brett calling from Plymouth, Ohio.
Well, welcome to the program.
I used to listen to you on WJR. Now I get you better on 3WE.
Well, that's the reason for it.
Great. What I wanted to ask you about was Gordon Michael Scallion.
Yes.
I can remember a few months back, he made a prediction. He expected a major quake on the West Coast by May 10th.
That's correct. Didn't happen. But remember now, that depended on the cycle of four earthquakes that he predicted completing, and they did not complete. And so there will be more cycles throughout this year.
I see. Is he putting any time on the big quake on the West Coast?
We will have him on again, and we will ask. Other than that, I can't tell you.
I see. Okay, well, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, and thank you very much for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
I can't quite pick up your station tonight. I just wondered if he was on the Freeman subject tonight.
No?
Well, I'm the father of those two children in the Freeman compound. I've been trying to talk to I've heard quite a few different...
Wait a minute. Hold it. Slow up. You are the father of the two children in the Freeman compound?
I am the father of the littlest one and the stepfather of the 10-year-old. I am the father of the 8-year-old that is in there.
Oh, my. I think that I've seen you on television a couple of times. You traveled to the Freeman compound, did you not?
I have been there twice, yes.
Twice, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And what can you tell us about what's going on inside? Do you know anything, either from the past or the present or your trip out there? What's going on in there?
They have their own form of government. They have their own religion that society will never accept, I believe.
What kind of religion is it?
Well, I can't speak for the Freeman themselves, but I know that my ex-wife and her husband, they call themselves LDS.
LDS?
Yes. They will come right out and tell you that they are LDS. I don't see how, but they do.
Well, and you know, this is the first time that I've heard that they claim to be LDS. Do they claim to be the same brand of LDS that you all have there in Utah, or is this a kind of a splinter?
A splinter. They've been in a group.
I guess it would be schism, really.
Yeah, they have all been excommunicated. You know, we know the LDS Church, or whatever spinoff they would call that, but they believe that a woman is a woman at 12, and then a man is a man at 14 and of marrying age.
All right. Well, tell us, what happened when you went to Montana? Were you able to get in? Were you able to see them? What did the FBI say? What happened?
The first time I went is right after they arrested Schweitzer and Peterson, and all the phone calls that go in and out of there are monitored, through the FBI, I should say.
Uh-huh.
And I was allowed to make a phone call to my ex-wife. I spoke to her briefly for about 2 to 3 minutes, and then she cut me off. But it was basically I was trying to get her to let me talk to the children, and she hee-hawed around, and she says, "Well, we're going to have to run up by our court system here, so call back in 2 days."
Hmm.
And when I made that attempt, the FBI would not let me do it. They felt that it would be detrimental to their ongoing negotiations.
All right. Well, when some negotiators went in, namely Bo Greitz, he came out very discouraged, thinking it was probably going to end violently, and basically saying that he also had the impression that there were some, at least 10 or possibly 10, inside that compound slash farmhouse, whatever it is, who were being held against their will. Do you have anything on that?
When you say against your will, I think it's more through they're being more intimidated to stay in, more than physically held in. I think I read where Bo Greitz said that at one point my ex-wife said that she thought maybe she ought to come out, and then she was immediately surrounded by Skirdall and a few of the others. And
reminding her of the oath she
took. Oath and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
And I think when they're saying they're in there against their will, I believe it's through more through intimidation than actually being physically forced to stay in there.
Okay, well, the late news is the FBI has generators on the premises. They're all hooked up. They're ready to cut off power, which will cut off running water and a lot of other things, satellite and the rest of it. Do you think, I mean, what's your view? You're closer to this than I am. Is this going to end peacefully? Do you think, are they going to finally come out if the FBI waits long enough, or is it going to end violently?
Okay, first on the generators, from what I understand, they did cut the power today.
They did?
Yes. And
didn't even make the news. Maybe it got washed away by whitewater.
This is it did make the news. I seen it on television myself. But they have their own generator there on the Prima compound, and I want to understand they got about 6,000 gallons of fuel to run it. The only thing the townspeople up there were telling me is this generator they have on the Prima compound is probably not big enough to run their well. They're pumping their well.
Yeah, it's probably 220, and draws a lot of starting currents.
A real deep well or something.
Sure,
It's probably that. As I said all along, I said it when I first went up there, and I felt it then, and when I went up just here recently, I felt it again. If you look at what's went on since the standoff has begun, they have shown no signs at all of ending this thing to negotiations. It's going to be a hostile takeover.
Mm-hmm.
I can just dynamic
entry.
Yeah, and I told when I first went up there, I expressed to the media that I felt that these children were going to end up being a negotiating tool, and I'm right.
All right, here's what I would like to do. I would like to get privately your phone number. Would you be willing to do that?
You betcha.
All right. Hold on the line, please, sir, and I'll be right back to you. Indeed, I'll be right back to you all. I talked with Steve offline, and we will call him and make some arrangements to get him back on the air again. But there is a man who has two children in the Freeman compound, and I'm sure he's going to be able to tell us more about it. We didn't have a particularly good phone connection, but we heard enough. And I will contact him and see about getting him on the air for an extended period of time. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Bell?
Good guess, yes. Where are you?
San Diego.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I wanted to tell you that you have a wonderful show.
Thank you.
And I haven't been able to listen for a long time because I had a very good friend who introduced me to you, who died recently.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm listening again, and I just wanted to say thank you for the wonderful entertainment that you bring us all.
Thank you, and you take care. That's very nice. We are mortal beings, aren't we? And there have been a number of people over the years of doing this program that have been callers and then have passed away. Some very deeply engraved in my memory. You know, it's been going on. I've been doing this particular program, the all-night slot, for about a dozen years now. So we are mortal. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hi there.
Hi there.
On a cell phone here.
Well, turn off your radio.
I got it off now.
That's good.
I can hear you.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
North of Salt Lake City, mobile.
All right.
In regards to this election in Israel, aren't the Golan Heights the big issue over there? And if they give that up to the Palestine, the Palestine people there, that...
Well, they wouldn't, sir. They would no doubt bargain it away to the Syrians.
Right, and that puts a lot of the low-lying area there in
great
in
risk.
Shell range, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me that it would behoove those people over in Israel to elect this, I don't know his name.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right, and I think that's probably a good chance of what's going to happen. And one more thing, I had a chance to listen to Pat Gannon on, he was up in Boise on Saturday.
Right.
And he had a comment that was quite interesting. They asked him about the immigration problem, and he said that his idea is to build a fence.
Yes. Yes, well, he's had that idea, thank you, for a long time. As a matter of fact, what is interesting about Mr. Buchanan is a little... fracas that went on up in Washington. They apparently sent the Buchanan campaign a note that said, if you're going to speak up here, you're going to have to wholeheartedly, without reservation, endorse Bob Dole. Well, for Pat, Bay Buchanan answered basically by saying, nuts, like the old general. No, we're not going to do that. I mean, come on, the convention is still months away. And we're not going to do that. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to come up to Washington. So they're not going to. Now, Mr. Dole's prospects for election are dependent, of course, on many, many things. One of them is going to be the right wing of the Republican Party, very solidly behind Mr. Buchanan. If he gets really angry, and he's kind of angry now, he would take those voters from Bob Dole. Bob Dole can't afford to have those voters taken from him, so his chances go from about 2 or 3 in 10, Whitewater aside, to about 0, in my estimation. So there's going to have to be a healing in the Republican Party, or there is going to be a sweep, and it's not going to have the name Dole at the end of it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning. I wanted to ask you, whatever happened to that story about the man that killed the two Bigfoot?
Well, the audience proceeded after that to scare the hell out of him, and he hasn't been back since.
Oh. I'm just being nosy as usual.
Well, that's fine. If you didn't get to hear it, then you wouldn't know. But that's what happened. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. This is Jamie, also known as His Image, and... or JTA on the IRC.
Mm-hmm.
And hello to all those on the internet.
And hello to them.
And I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Yes, sir.
And I have two things for you.
All right.
Number one, I just wanted to thank you for your show and getting out all this information to us.
It's a pleasure.
It's a nice forum you've given us.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
The second thing I had was the Chupa pic, the picture. At first, I saw it on my monochrome monitor.
Yes.
And it looked like a joke. And then I looked on another computer with 256 colors, and I'm going, okay, this is a little bit more real.
Yes.
And so at first I thought it was like something from a bad sci-fi movie.
Well, it looks like something from a bad sci-fi movie, but it is scary. It is evil. It is about the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. He's talking about the photograph, the alleged photograph, of the Chupacabra. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey, sir.
Hey, I got through.
You did. Where are you?
This is Scott. I listen to you at KEX in Portland.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling, and there's three items in your news today that I wanted to comment on.
All right.
The first one is your Chupacabra photo.
Yes.
I think it's a fake.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
And the reason is because the fangs are not those of a blood-sucking animal.
Okay.
So think about that one. The next thing is the Colorado referendum or measure against tax-exempt organizations.
Yes.
I think that that is an explicit attempt by liberal interests to gain further control of welfare and charity.
Mm-hmm.
And third item is those UFO pieces that were sent to you.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, you're right. It would have that effect. If you pull it out of the hands of the churches, it puts the responsibility where? Right back with the government.
Oh, yes. And
yes,
remember,
no,
the thing is that for everybody to remember is that prior to the advent of intense socialism and liberalism, churches and private charities were the organizations that took care of people.
The thousand points of light.
Well.
Well, yes, really.
Anyway, it's something to think about.
Okay, on what we call Art's parts.
Oh, yes, those parts. I have looked at the pictures, and I have a couple of comments on those. First of all, one is positive and one is negative. The positive, well, first, the negative is, I think that Linda Howe said that they were exactly 6 millimeters.
Okay, we are not going to have time for this. We've got a newscast coming
okay.
up.
Okay.
And all I could do is ask you to hold on.
Okay, I'll hold on for a couple minutes.
Well, it's going to have to be more than a couple, so maybe you better try calling us back, all right? Since we cut you off, if you can get through again, we'll put you back on.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 28, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be back. 3 days off. Rarely have I done that. It's almost weird coming back after 3 days. Dear Art, James McDougal, guilty, 18 counts, and 84 possible years in jail. Susan McDougal, 4 counts, a possible 17 years. Source, ABC Nightline. Now, if they know something, I mean, if you were James McDougal, not that he's going to spend 84 years in jail, I mean, the guy's already, you know, whatever, old. You still you don't want to spend the rest of your natural life in jail, do you? And so if a DA or the federal equivalent of it, I guess actually Arkansas equivalent of it, says, look here now, Jim, you don't have to go to jail for that long. All you've really got to do is tell us where this thing really goes. And if he's got any hot information, you know he's going to lay it out then and there. So we will see. Right now, the perception of trouble at the White House is very strong. Very strong. And I'm sure Bob Dole is quietly celebrating. Because he may have something to go on, finally. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is pertaining to your little creature.
All right. Where are you, sir?
I'm from Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh, all right.
And
3WE again.
Yes, yes. This is actually, it's the first time I turned it on, and I was kind of bored, so I thought I'd give you a chance. And
all right.
You've impressed me, so.
Well, it'll take time. It'll
yes.
take time. Anyway, the little creature
Well, I caught the tail end of it, and I'm kind of confused. If you can explain a little bit more to me about what it is.
All right, let's try it this way. It began in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
We began to get reports on it. I do a program called Dreamland Sunday nights.
Right.
Linda Moulton Howe, who is widely regarded as the world's expert on crop circles and animal mutilations, you know, the cows, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Began reporting on something that was attacking farm animals in Puerto Rico, leaving two outside marks and maybe four inside marks, and draining, sucking, if you will, all the blood from the animals killed, called the chupacabra.
Okay.
And then we began to get reports. We've been reporting on this for months. Then we started to get reports from South America, then Central America, then California, Texas, Arizona, Oregon. This thing is beginning to kill now here. All we ever had of this, whatever in the hell it is, were drawings, things that people would draw from eyewitness reports, that sort of thing. Then, finally, I guess it was last week, somebody sent me what is purported to be, he says, a picture of a chupacabra. It is about the ugliest, most evil thing you've ever seen in your whole life.
Have they determined what kind of animal it is, descended from? Is it...
No. It may be something new. It may be something created somewhere in a lab. It may be something that jumped through a dimension or something. You know, who knows?
Right, right.
Maybe something new in the evolutionary world. I don't
know.
Interesting. But we're following the story. And if you want to see more about it, try hard copy tomorrow night. They're going to have a story.
Oh, they are.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you very much.
Right. In the meantime, if you want to see this photograph, and I don't warranty it to be anything, along with the letter that came with it, go to my website, www.artbell.com. We will also get it in the newsletter soon. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Quinn from Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Yes, sir.
And I just had a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about. First is that Eon Foresight.
Oh, yes.
That was at the top of your webpage.
Yes.
Was that real, or was that just a...
No. As I said, when I put it up there, the link... it is not real, but
oh, really?
It is worth seeing. It is incredibly well done. Isn't
yes, I was reading it a couple of weeks ago. Well, not a week ago, just a couple of days ago, and it was pretty amazing. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was I sent you some email today.
Yes, sir.
Of two pictures. I don't know if you've heard of them. It's a alien body, just kind of like the Roswell gray aliens.
Really?
Yes, that they found in Japan, supposedly.
Really?
Yes. And
Well, I don't have it yet, so I must not have checked my email close enough to airtime.
All right. Well, what it shows is just an alien. It looks to me like it's pretty real because it shows bruises. It's got it's like a big bulbous head, and it shows the feet.
All right. Listen, I'll take a look. If it's cool, I'll put it up on the webpage. All right?
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. Who knows? The trouble with photographs now is that any manner of manipulation is possible. You can do just about anything with a good scanner and a computer and a good program. I can do it. So I know it can be done, and it makes nearly all photographs suspect. And besides that, no matter how good or bad they are, there will be about half the people who will say, oh, you know, I went down to pixel level and I can clearly see this is a fake. And the other half will believe it. It's the way it is today. Isn't that a shame? Used to be back in the days of Polaroids, you know, if you got a picture, why, it was probably the real thing. Today, who knows? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Mark from Salt Lake.
Hello, Mark.
I want to talk about the referendum for taxing churches.
What do you think about that idea?
I think churches should be taxed like everyone else and only get a deduction for the charity that they actually do give.
Mm-hmm.
It seems nowadays that the churches just aren't very charitable. Like here in Salt Lake, we have lots of homeless families that are on waiting lists for the homeless shelter. You know, these are little kids and everything that are out on the street.
Okay, but let's think about this a little bit. If churches suddenly have got to begin paying property tax the way everybody else does, they're not going to have much money left to do charitable work. That means it's going to fall on the government to do.
Well, the churches in our neighborhood monopolize most of the wealth. They are purchasing for-profit businesses and also massive amounts of real estate, which they turn into tax-exempt church farms, and they practically monopolize most of the wealth in this valley.
I sense you're not active LDS.
Well, not. I'm just talking about the facts.
I understand. I ask again, though. I sense you are not active LDS.
I'm not active LDS.
I knew that would be a good guess.
You know, even like building these temples and stuff that cost millions of dollars, and like $27 million, and they're only available to church members. You know, they're not available to the general society, and they are very expensive and opulent, you know.
All right, well, I guess that is worth chewing over. In other words, the churches, with this tax benefit, build great empires to God. And they are only accessible to members of the church. Or is that true? In Colorado, thousands of people have signed a petition to get on the ballot a measure that would cause churches to begin to have to pay taxes, property taxes, just like all the rest of us. Now, it would lower my property tax if churches had to pay, if they joined the crowd. But then again, the other side of the argument is churches do a lot of beneficial work. They feed the homeless, house them. Maybe there are waiting lists to get on or help. I'm sure that is true. But gee, folks, are you sure you want to pass that particular chore on to the government? Because that is what's going to occur. If the churches can no longer do it, it's going to go to the government. It's going to be more power in the hands of the government that you all say you don't like so much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, I was just wondering, whatever happened with the parts, the space parts?
Well, I just finished talking about that, sir.
I know. I just turned it on, and I heard that guy ask the question that got cut off, and I missed it.
All right. Well, where are you, by the way?
I'm in Nashville.
Nashville. All right. What happened with the parts? Well, they are being tested. I got these parts claiming to be from the crash at Roswell. Freaked me out. Sent them off for testing to a large university. They came back. They did spectrography, electronic scanning, microscope, all that kind of thing. And they came back 9999 aluminum. Very unusual, solid aluminum. Now, that was on the outside. They have yet to test the inside. They're doing that. They did cut one open, did a destructive test to it. The odd thing is, to come back 1,100 aluminum, or 9999, whatever you want to call it, they should have weighed a specific amount. I think it was 97 milligrams, something like that, 96, 97. And they came back weighing exactly 160 milligrams. So that can't be. Something is askew. And we are going to get the rest of the story this next week on Dreamland. They're going to do more testing. I now have more parts. You'll see the new letter that I got. These purportedly from the outside of the ship. It is scorched. It's many layered, 40 or 50 layers in a quarter inch of separate metal, kind of sandwiched together. It's really odd. Really, really odd. So that's where things stand at the moment. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how are you doing? This is Travis from Pullman.
Hi, Travis.
Hey, I'm on your IRC page, or your IRC...
chat channel.
Chat channel, thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, after you said that some pictures could be faked...
Manipulated.
Manipulated,
yes.
Even, yeah.
Sure.
I saw a really cool question come up here, and I thought I might ask you it.
All right.
what do you think the chances are that maybe Hoagland did that and manipulated his pitchers?
Well, people have always asked that question. I doubt that. I think he's a very honorable man, and I don't think he manipulated anything. But when you get down to the pixel level, it gets very hard to judge. So my answer would be, no, I don't think he manipulated
anything. You don't think so?
Anything. No. Mm-mm.
No. All right. Thanks, Art.
You're welcome, sir. Bye. Take care. He refers to Richard Hoagland. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
Art, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling you from Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
K-How Country.
Of course.
I'm calling to comment about the Israeli election. I happen to be a Palestinian. I was born and raised. In fact, I was born in Jordan, and that's where I came to the States about 3 years ago or so.
What do you think the Israelis are going to do?
Well, I think the Israelis have started a line of policy 3 years ago that will basically ensure their own security and try to keep the Palestinians as suppressed as possible. That's my personal opinion. I mean, if you look at the peace process right now and at what's going on, the self-ruled areas basically, excuse me, I'm a little nervous about being on the air. The self-ruled areas are, they have no control over their external policy. The Israeli army is just around the corner. What is so strange is that the media tries to portray the Israeli withdrawal or so-called withdrawal as a withdrawal. Actually, it's a redeployment, and it's written as such. And so I don't really think that if Peres or Netanyahu is elected, I don't think it'll make a lot of difference.
No?
I don't think so.
You don't think Netanyahu would slow down the peace process?
No, I think, the difference is in tactics. I think both are headed towards the same conclusion, which is basically getting rid of the Palestinian question, giving the Palestinians as little as possible,
mm-hmm.
and also maintaining full control over the territory. It's a matter of how they're going to want to do it. Peres is portraying himself like a dove. You know, he wants to accelerate this thing. Netanyahu is being a little more cautious, but I think they're both headed towards the same conclusion.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. I can tell you that as an Israeli, I would vote for Netanyahu any day. I think Peres probably is going to win, but I would be very, very security conscious. And I would be not at all interested in seeing the Golan Heights return to Syria as part of the continuing so-called peace process. I would be very concerned. I would look up at the Heights every day and say, no, do I want Syrian guns up there? I don't think so. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art?
All
Art,
right.
Did Linda Howell go down to Puerto Rico yet?
She was in Puerto Rico about a month ago.
Oh, for the La Chupacabra?
Yeah, looking for the Chupacabra.
Because you had a caller a couple weeks ago, and she suggested, why don't they take DNA testing on it?
Yes, indeed.
On the dead animals?
Yes.
Did she do that?
I don't know. We'll find out.
All right, thanks, Art.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay, where are you?
I'm calling you from Honolulu, Hawaii, listening to you on WOAI out of Texas.
Wow. Wow. That's quite a shot.
Well, I can't get you till 10 o'clock here, and that'll be in about another 36 minutes.
Right, and then on KHVH in Honolulu. That'll be easier on the ear.
Yeah, it seems like it's hard to get into your real audio sites. It's getting more. You got more people out there buying darn computers, I guess.
I guess. I know. I tried to get in there and during Dreamland because it was a repeat this last weekend, and it said the server was full. So
yeah, I get that because I try out of I go into the three sites you have listed on your board.
Mm-hmm.
On your homepage there, and WOAI, it seems those guys are like they're always there.
Yep.
And they're always up and running. Anyways, Art, you know when Jim Guy Tucker steps down and they get this Republican in there as governor, I heard you step on a little bit, but I don't think Clinton's going to last out. I don't think we have to worry about him running for re-election. I don't think he's going to last out this election.
Well, you know, he has not actually officially announced.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah. And but then on the other hand, if he leaves office, the first thing he's going to be facing is Paula Jones.
And then the second thing is going to be which federal pen you want to go to, Mr. Clinton. But you read my article the other day. I sent you. Can I say hi to my dad?
Yes.
Hi, Dad. His name's Tom in Palm Springs, California.
All right.
You read my article on the air the other night about my cat that jumped out after the bird?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, cat's doing fine, still limping a little bit, but you know the darndest thing now?
That bird saved your cat's life.
Yep, the bird ate the big one, but the cat didn't.
Well, that's the way it ought to be.
And, you know, the cat now won't eat its, I had her on dry food. You know, I try and keep her on that for her teeth and stuff.
Right.
And now the cat, the only thing she'll eat now is sushi.
All right, thanks. What happened is his cat was out on his porch. Now, he was several stories up. And his cat kept trying to get to this bird and then found a way to get outside. And the bird was sitting right on the edge of the ledge. And the cat made a usual cat leap, jumped like crazy, and caught the bird. And they both went tumbling down several stories. And the cat landed on top of the bird. The bird is dead meat. The cat is apparently doing quite well. Well, listen, while we're on the subject of chupacabra, this is going to absolutely blow your mind. I want to give you a little bit of this going toward the break. It's from a fellow named Andy Ross. Listen to the words very, very carefully. Listen now. This is really cool. Andy Ross did this. Ode to the Chupacabra.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
In your eyes that you're out for blood tonight. The ghosts are uneasily off in the distance.
We take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Art, a favor from your board op at KPQ in Wenatchee, Washington. I'm doing a feature program on people who work overnights. In other words, cops, nurses, firemen. I'll add talk show hosts. And I'd like to have some comments from you. One, what are the pros and cons of working the hours you do? What do you like best about overnights? How long have you been doing it? Any tips for newcomers to the wee hours regarding sleep, social life, family life, etc.? Thanks very much. I'm recording. Okay. Well, I can't speak for the cops, nurses, or firemen, but I guess as a talk show host I can. What are the pros and cons? Well, the cons are that when the rest of the world is doing business, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a network business or anything else, I'm asleep, so I miss a lot of business. It's very hard. In other words, and people don't understand it. People who work during the day expect me. They don't think about the fact that I work all night long, so they think I'm wide awake at noon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, for me, that's midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. So a con is that people expect you to be there when you can't be there. Unless you're willing to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. The pro, the nighttime hours are much better. People have time to think about things other than the hustle and bustle during the day. So if you're doing a talk show, as far as I am concerned, the nighttimes are far better. And I would never, never, never take this talk show or any other 2 days. I just wouldn't do it. I like the night people. How long have I been doing it? This program, about 12 years. Any tips for newcomers? No, the other hard part is when you're off. For example, I have been off now 3 days. Very unusual. I normally work 6 days a week. Well, I had 3 days off. You know what I did? I slept all night long 2 of those nights. Very, very, very bad idea. Because now I've got to come back and get back into my regular routine. And my routine, so you might know, is to, you know, I'll be on the air until 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific. And then I will stay up until about noontime or 1 o'clock. And then I will go to bed. That's evening. For me, the late morning is evening. And I will go to bed. If I can stay awake that long, because I am now kind of back for 2 nights to, you know, the other sleep pattern. So that's a rough one. And my advice, even though I don't adhere to my own advice to you, is to, on your days off, maintain the same schedule, or you will be sorry. But the best part of working at night, all the people out there. The people who have time to think about things other than, you hear during the day. I mean, that's what makes this talk program what it is. You don't think this would work during the day, do you? I don't. The kind of material that we cover here, it's for the nighttime hours. It's for the time when the sun is gone and the moon and the stars are out. It's for that. It's not for the daytime. So that's my feeling. Maybe some of the rest of you that work these hours have some advice. I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Portland, Oregon.
Yes, oh, good.
Betty.
Yes, Betty.
Sorry, I missed you when you were in town.
Boy, that was something else, I'll tell you.
It sounded like it was, and on the news, it, you know, was quite a big thing, too.
Thousands of people came. I was signing books from 12 noon till 8:30 at night.
Writer's cramp?
Oh, my whole hand hurt. Yes.
Oh, say, your Chupacabra, or how you pronounce that little guy's name?
Yes.
I was sort of laying here listening to your talk on in regards to it and have my own theory. Maybe with the polar cap, the way it's melting, maybe, you know, all that that falls into the ocean, maybe some prehistoric thing was lodged up in there, and the warm weather warmed it up and brought it back to life, and it started multiplying.
Mm-hmm. As good a theory, my dear,
as any. Yeah, it's one of the pipe dreams in the wee hours of the morning.
That's right. Now, would you consider a chupacabra during the day? No. These are things that are things of the night. I mean, the chupacabra obviously is nocturnal. And these are the hours when, if you were to be out walking, it might leap from the bushes, grab you by the neck, and, well, you know the rest.
But
think about that during the day.
No, but we're going to sure think about it this weekend when we go camping.
Are you really?
Around the campfire, we're going to talk about it.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't do that. You're braver than I am. Thank you. I do. I'm always afraid that, in fact, when sometimes I scare myself. You know, when we talk about these things on the air, I scare myself. We've had, I do a traditional every year at Halloween. We do nothing but, and when I talk about ghosts, we do it seriously. We don't let people joke around. We do serious ghost shows. And they have been so serious some years that they've scared the hell out of me. Hi, Art. I usually listen to KSTP or WOAI for the first hour. Now, this, bear in mind, this is coming from a place called Eagle, Nebraska. I get 3WE, about the same as San Antonio. Wow. Reception is not that good with my little portable, but it's almost acceptable listening. Holy mackerel. You mean 3WE is going all the way to Nebraska? Nebraska? I guess they're right. 38 states. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Hello.
This is Chris in Nashville.
Hi, Chris.
You were talking about the night shift and trying to give somebody some hints who had sent you a fax or email or something.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I've worked nights for 12 years, and what I've learned is that if you work in very bright light at night and keep your your room as dark as you can get it during the day, you can change your biological clock around and change your rhythm. But you are absolutely correct when you say do not try and sleep at night on your days off. It will just throw you all out of kilter.
I know. I'm paying for it tonight.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your 3 days.
I did, and I'm not sorry about it, except now.
Now, I work security work, and, you know, that's always night work. And, yeah, you just get used to it. And anytime you have to, you know, be awake during the day, it just throws you all out of...
It does, and there are certain things in your life that must be done during the day. For example, if you've got to deal with an agency like, oh, I don't know, DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, or the tax people, or whoever it would be, you know, something where you must mandatorily be present, say, at noon or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, it's a killer.
Yeah, court will also tear you up, too.
Well, in more ways than one, yes.
Well, I got called for jury duty not too long ago.
That would do it.
Yeah, particularly since we weren't sequesters, and I was expected to work at night, too.
All right, my friend, thank you. He's exactly right, and I have done it. Two nights out of the three, I slept all night long. Now, I knew I was going to do it. I knew it. But I did it anyway. Big mistake. I mean, I'm fine now. I caught a, you know, late afternoon nap. But it's going to be a little strange for a day or two, and then I'll fall right back into the routine, no problem. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Clyde in Las Vegas.
Hi.
And I was going to say, you think your days and nights are messed up. I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm addicted to your show.
Now, that is a problem.
Yes. But I listen to you, and I usually fall asleep about 3 o'clock. But,
and wake up at 7. So you get 4 hours?
And yeah.
It's not enough.
I can hardly wait for you to come on at 11 o'clock.
Well, at least you get me at 11. Now, back east, I don't come on until 2 o'clock in the morning. Think what they go through.
Yes. Anyways, I just wanted to call and say I like your show.
Thank you.
And keep up the good work.
All right, take care. This program, you will determine as time goes on, is kind of a mishmash of many, many things. Does not, except when there's good reason to do it, concentrate on politics. Actually, there's pretty good reason to concentrate on it this morning. Because whether or not you believe that this is going to lead to the president, this whole Whitewater thing, the perception of wrongdoing or connection to wrongdoing is absolutely, totally inescapable. The perception is there. The seed is planted. Kenneth Starr will continue to water the seed and try and make it grow into a full-blown scandal. And so with the convictions in Little Rock, as a matter of fact, a lot of people were surprised. Senator D'Amato, one of them, he went on CNN last night. He expressed shock. He thought there was going to be vindication for McDougal and company, and there was not. There was instead conviction, even of the governor of Arkansas. Now, does this connect directly, like the knee bone to the thigh bone? In other words, to the president? No, it doesn't. But there is a loose connection. There is a perception. Birds of a feather fly. You know how that goes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Bob from Houston.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Art Bell. I have a question about this Colorado referendum.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't it violate the separation of church and state?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be argued that way.
Okay, question number two, or I should say statement number two. Mm-hmm. Bigfoot.
Yes.
Let's see. It is... we're looking at USA Today, Friday, May 24th issue.
Yes, sir.
There's a half-page spread on Bigfoot on page 8A.
Really?
Yes, including
really?
The infamous or famous photograph by Roger Patterson that was taken back in 1967.
Considered to still be the best.
Yes, I'm looking at it now, and I've been studying this very grainy, of course, black and white photo.
and I'm looking at what appears to be the right anterior lateral of this anthropoid creature in stride, and it has its head turned to the right, and it appears to have, now don't laugh, breast.
Really? Well, who's to say that it might not have been a female Bigfoot?
That's what I'm claiming. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm claiming that is because my specialty happens to be photomicroscopy.
Uh-huh. Which is?
Oh, that's examining photographs of very, very small creatures.
Well, number one, that photograph was taken from moving video, which during the time it's moving would have considerably more detail than I'm sure is captured there. Number two, while you're an expert at examining photographs, are you an expert at veterinary medicine or in some field that would make you an expert on animals in general?
More like human biology.
I see.
X-rays.
All right. Well, that's very interesting, and we follow Bigfoot as well. Done a number of shows on Bigfoot. And I'll tell you, we had this incredible guy on the air who told us a story. I interviewed him for an hour about shooting some Bigfoot. Or is it with plural be big feet? I don't know. Anyway, he shot them and buried them and was willing to show us where they were buried, dig them up. But his name was Bugs. Unfortunately, the audience scared the hell out of him. He was convinced he was going to be convicted of murder, and we have not heard from him since. And I was honor-bound not to replay that interview on the air unless he gave me permission, and he didn't. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
Is this Art?
Yes.
Hey, Art. How's it going? I'm calling to talk about Pat Buchanan.
All right. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm in a big room, though. Would
okay.
that be doing the sound?
Well, I guess, yes. What do you want to say about Pat?
Oh, I was talking about when I was in high school 4 years ago. I remember you talked about Pat Buchanan for a little while, and I wanted to ask why. I want to know why, how he thinks he'd be able to get the presidency with his background that he has. When I was in high school, he came to our high school to do a speech right around election time.
Yes.
And a friend of mine had an article that he had written in some area newsletter. And what happened was he asked Pat Buchanan why he had written a letter in an area newsletter. And he said that he shouldn't be reading. At first, he denied it, and then he said, well, you shouldn't be reading anything like that, when he held up the letter of the Aryan newsletter.
Well, because a letter appeared from Pat Buchanan, sir, does not mean that he specifically wrote it for that publication. Now, they can take things and reprint them, and lots of things can occur. I think Pat Buchanan is a lot of things. But I don't think he is what they have accused him of being. They did a job on Buchanan. Let's face it, they did a job on Buchanan. And frankly, to review a little bit, he did not help himself out. He went down to Arizona at the very moment that he could have clinched the nomination. Literally, clinched the nomination. And put on a black cowboy suit, and of course the media played it up. And I'm not saying that it was all wrong, but it was a bad move. And the media played it up, and they made him look extreme, a tag they were trying to put on him anyway. So why in the world would Pat go down to Arizona and put on a cowboy uniform with a gun? It played right into their hands. Even though it was basically innocent, it played right into their hands, and they beat him to death, political death with it. So that's my view on Pat Buchanan. He is not going to be president. And he may, however, hold Bob Dole's future in his hand. If he takes away the far right, Bob Dole does not have a chance. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good evening, Art Bell.
Hello.
You've got the Kansas conservative here. We can barely get 3WE. It's awfully scratchy.
Well, it's going to depend on the night.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
I've got my homemade select antenna. That helps a little bit. I was wondering why that gentleman in Nebraska called a while ago didn't listen to KFAB in Omaha.
Well, I assume normally he does. He probably went down and just tuned in because I said it was there, and so he can hear it.
That's about what I did. I just wanted to tell you the chupacabras are real. I know. I've been married to two of them.
Have you?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
One of them...
Sir,
actually,
have you seen the photograph, the alleged photograph of the chupacabra that I have?
Yeah, I thought it was Bob Dole at first, but and this is
you know, I was going to say, if either one of your wives actually looked like that, there would not be enough liquor in the whole world.
It wasn't that so much. They just tended to act that way. One of them, I think, was due to night work.
I see.
She became a nurse, and she still is, and she works from 7 in the evening till 7 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And she was the sweetest, most loving person I ever knew.
Uh-huh.
Until her days off, and then she would try to go back to normal human status.
Right.
And after a few months of that, she became a raging bitch. And that's the sweetest thing I can say about her. So it just doesn't work out. Hey, one thing I want to hit on real quick. When you had Dr. Mitchell on the other night.
Yes.
And you were talking about Bucky Fuller.
Yes.
He kept referring to Bucky's most famous invention as a geodesic dome. Well, I was a friend of Bucky Fuller. Bucky had a lot of friends here in Kansas. And I've talked to Bucky a lot, and he always called it a geodesic dome.
Mm. Well.
So since Bucky invented it, I'd go with geodesic.
All right.
Even though Dr. Mitchell's been to the moon and I haven't, and he's got a PhD and I don't, I was a friend of Bucky's.
Well, it may be just a matter of where you live and, you know, a little bit of an accent here and there. I don't think anything worth picking over. We did two interviews with Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, Edgar Mitchell, and they were fascinating. We will have him on again. As a matter of fact, I talked to Dr. Mitchell a few days ago, and he is now studying new photographs sent to him by Richard Hoagland. So there may be a Hoagland-Mitchell discussion slash debate part two not very far away. It's obvious to me that Dr. Mitchell, though mystified, is absolutely intrigued and looking honestly at the photographs.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 28th of May, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. Back after 3 days off. Oh, you have no idea what that does to an all-night man. Two of them, I slept all night long. I don't know how I did that, but I did. So now I pay. All right. Back now to the telephones. We'll talk about anything you want. The convictions, of course, in Arkansas, big news. Perceptually, politically, how it will affect the Clintons, more important at this juncture than whether there is a legal line that leads to, I think, first, if at all, the First Lady and then the President. Nothing to say that is occurring. But a perceptual political problem does exist for the Clintons now, so that's big news. Lots of other things in the news we can talk about. Actually, anything that's on your mind. This is live unscreen talk radio because this radio station cares enough to have live talk radio on. Latest of them is 3WE in Cleveland. Glad to have you guys on board this morning. east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Bell, from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a comment on a couple or three of your guests real fast.
All right.
Brad Steiger and Dr. Mitchell came across in their interviews as being a couple of the most gracious gentlemen I've heard on the radio, TV, or in person in a long time.
Very nice, both of them, yes.
And Dr., I think his name was Purnell. I haven't read any of the stuff.
Dr. Purnell, yes.
The science fiction writer?
Yes.
He impressed me so much with how he would give credit to other people for their accomplishments and their expertise in different fields.
Yes, he, by the way, sent me a fax, said he very much enjoyed being on the program, wants to be on again. We will arrange it.
Great, great. If I can make one other comment on another subject.
Sure.
This goat sucker.
Yes, sir.
We don't have any of those in Louisiana. We're not going to have any of them in Louisiana, at least east of the Mississippi, because our Wampus cats will keep them run out. They just won't let them in.
Who?
The Wampus cats.
What is a Wampus cat?
Well, a Wampus cat is in the swamps, they're dangerous. I've never seen one. I don't know anybody that has ever seen one, but I know several people that know people that have seen them.
Well, that's circumstantial evidence, and we've got better than circumstantial evidence with chupacabra. So how is your mythical creature going to keep possibly a non-mythical creature from coming to Louisiana and enjoying some Cajun hemoglobin?
Oh, listen. Listen, they're real. These wolfish cats are real. Everybody here knows they're real.
Yes.
But on this goat sucker,
yes.
I think the origin... Could it possibly be that those goat suckers are from the moon and they were contained in some kind of a dome? And when Dr. Mitchell went up there, he might have knocked a hole in his dome and they got out.
Burst the bubble and they flew back.
Hey, is that consistent or not?
If you say so, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. That's the other name for them. What's being called the chupacabra is also called the goat sucker because so many goats have been killed. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Oh, just wanted to do a quick comment on the Colorado Church Initiative.
What do you think about that?
Well, basically it occurred to me that if churches require some sort of tax incentive in order to do good deeds, just how charitable are they?
Well, a little more so because they don't have to, you know, render God's treasure to Caesar.
Well, the same could be said of, say, government, where you've got people that say, well, we'll take money from the people. We don't pay any taxes on our buildings because we're already doing good deeds.
Now, do you own a home?
Sorry?
Do you own a home?
Technically, no.
Technically, no. That's an interesting answer.
Well, I work out of my home, but I live with my girlfriend.
Does your girlfriend owns a home?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, she pays property tax. Arguably, if churches had to begin to pay, she might pay less. But also,
that is true.
But also, the churches then would do a lot less charity work, you know.
Wait a minute.
Who then would take over that work?
Well, that's not what I'm concerned with.
Well, you ought to be. Wait, sir. Please, just wait. I'll let you say what you want to say.
No, I'm just saying.
Let me finish.
Okay,
Now, if the government has to do the work, it's going to cost us, arguably, and truthfully, a hell of a lot more than costs us giving the churches a break.
That's probably true.
You don't care?
Well, what I'm saying is it's not really a question of how much you're paying. If a church needs a tax deduction to do charitable work, what kind of a church is it?
All right, well, you already said that. Thank you very much for the call. It is a church that has enjoyed that tax break forever, really. Look, I'm not... yes, I am. I am on the side of the churches, and I think this break should continue, because I can clearly see what would occur if it did not. I know there's a lot of resentment out there among the non-religious people about churches getting this break. But, I mean, think it over, folks. Get past your resentment for a moment and consider what is going to happen if we begin taxing churches. They're not going to be able to help out as many people. We're going to have a lot more homeless. The chore then will fall to the government, which, of course, is going to gladly do it with your tax dollars. Now, if you think that the churches are bloated bureaucracy that wastes a lot of money in the help they give, they're doing it on a local level, just wait till you see what happens when it gets to a federal level. About 10 cents on the dollar, if you're lucky. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is TTC on the IRC.
Yes.
I just want to say thank you for dropping in last week and like to see you on again soon.
Well, I've been on several days, and you'll hear me there again soon.
Oh, yes. I'm on there all the time myself, so.
All right, my friend.
Just can't wait to see you back there.
Okay.
Have a great show.
Take care. That's a chat channel, the IRC chat channel. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I've been trying to get a hold of you for days, actually.
Well, you've got me.
All right. Well, my name's Rick, and I'm from Lexington, Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
And I got a question or some information to all your listeners. There's some the Agriculture Department is currently trying to do some pilot projects on the growth of non-TCH hemp for industry purposes. And here in Lexington,
it's THC.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Here in Lexington, this Friday, they've got a bunch of industrialists who are going to learn about it and stuff like that. And I just want your viewpoint on, like, I think this is what my viewpoint is. I think that the government is really conservative, which they should be, because personally, our society is not ready for legalization of marijuana, but there, to me, there's no reason not to use this industrial hemp.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I reference frequently a Wall Street Journal article about 3 or 4 years ago that concluded, after a study, that the legalization of hemp would add about $500 billion to the U.S. economy per year. That's a lot of money. That's $500 billion. That's a lot of money. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a question about... I was watching the Discovery Channel this weekend.
Oh, right.
I saw a special on Roswell.
Yes.
Did you happen to catch that?
No. I heard about it, but I didn't catch it.
Because they said that they were going to release information on it in 4 months. And I was wondering if
who is going to do that?
The government.
The government?
Yeah.
Well, they just did it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Remember, not long ago they said, "Well, we lied. It was not a balloon. It was a different kind of balloon." Don't you remember that?
No, I didn't hear anything. Well, I just started listening to your show, so I wasn't really up on Roswell.
So okay.
Up until I started listening, I also have another question for you.
Sure.
That 5 foot egg. You ever heard anything more on that?
It was a hoax.
It was.
Yes. Some radio station was going to hatch something out of it.
Okay, one more thing here.
Yes, sir?
You haven't played that Art Bell song in a long time. We hear that tonight?
That's true. I haven't, have I?
Uh-uh.
I'll see what I can do. Where are you?
In Nebraska.
Nebraska. All right, sir. Thank you. I'll see what I can do. Guy wrote the art. I like the new Chupa song myself. But I'll see if I can get to that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
David Liberal, California.
How you doing? Okay.
Right. I wanted to talk about Clinton here.
Yes?
You know, they got a couple of his buddies now.
Yes.
Maybe he'll have the guts to step down, face his punishment. No, he has all this stuff following him around. He's at the very least tarnished. The guy shouldn't be president to begin with, having dodged the draft and all.
Well, he was elected. And you don't sound very liberal.
Well, I am liberal.
You are?
I believe in individual freedom. I believe in the free market.
So do I.
Well, I guess that makes you liberal, too.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, what you have with liberalism here, you have these people who call themselves liberal.
Give me an example. Give me an example of a liberal you admire.
Liberal I admire?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
myself. I don't really admire any of the people that call themselves liberals.
None of them?
People that I'd admire.
Then why would you want to identify with a word that describes that ideology if you can't name so much as one person you admire who says they're liberal?
Well, see, I mean, you have to look at
You're not a real liberal. You're a fake.
You're a fake liberal. No, I'm a true liberal. You can't look at people who call themselves
fake.
Liberals.
Nah, you're
well,
a
that's liberalism. Mm. Liberalism is, and if you take a look in a dictionary and look it up, liberalism means everything that these people who call themselves liberals stand against. It means free competition. It means a self-regulating market.
Mm-hmm.
It means individual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you stand against authoritarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand exactly with that definition of liberalism.
All right, thank you. Well, I would attribute, I would say all of those same attributes could and are claimed by conservatives. Right? Unless you're the kind of liberal that our president is. Now, our president is a sort of morphin man. In other words, he is whatever he needs to be to get reelected. Either elected or re-elected. And they say one of the very poorest spots to be standing in right now is just to the right of the president. Because you're going to get run over like a train as the president runs to the right. I just don't know how you beat somebody like Clinton. Whatever it is that Bob Dole gets as a good campaign issue, save perhaps these latest convictions, Bill Clinton says me too. I mean, he just morphs. I am convinced if he had to do it, he would declare himself a conservative Republican and run that way to get back into the White House. I'm convinced. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello. Oh, I was afraid that that lady would cut me off. There's a lady that comes on my phone. I don't know if it's the phone company or your radios.
Well, it's the phone company. And after you've been ringing for a while, you get cut off, right?
Yeah.
She's probably an ugly lady. Not like the MCI girl.
No, she's not pretty. I mean, she's like really mean to cut me off like that. But anyway. There's like that night shift thing you were talking about.
Yes.
I guess you got a letter.
Yes.
And, I'm not working right now, but obviously because I'm home, but I'm still keeping the same hours. I mean, I can't get out of it. I've always been on a night. I can't do days at all.
Where are you, pray tell?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City. And so normally, what, five nights a week you work all night?
Well, like either the 3 to 11 or 11 to 7. It varies.
Oh, that's even worse.
You know, I mean, I can, or sometimes it's like 16 hours.
In other words, you go from swing shift to graveyard to swing shift.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So, you know, it's like I don't hardly ever get to do anything in the daytime, but, you know, it's really good at the grocery store. If you go to a 24-hour grocery store, you don't have any crowds.
That's right. No, that is an advantage.
You know.
Would you say on balance, though, there are more advantages or disadvantages to working the hours you work?
Actually, I think there's more advantages because it's much more relaxing. You don't have, like, six bosses telling you what to do at work.
That's right.
And the traffic is less.
That's right.
Everything is less hectic. It's a lot slower.
Right again. People have time to think, be creative.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a much better time.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, thank you. There's no question about it. This is a better time. On balance, far better. But you can't tell that to daytime people, you know. They say, when do you work? And I say, oh, well, 11 to 4. Those are the hours I've got here on the West Coast. 11 to 4. They go, oh, my God. You must not even have a life. Oh, yes, I do. It's just a different life. That's all. It's not the same as everybody else's, and I wouldn't want it to be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air, top of the morning.
Goodness gracious, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Hi.
This is Steph from Denver. It's been perhaps a year since I've been able to get through.
That's too long.
May I express a Coloradoan's opinion on the Colorado Initiative?
You sure may.
Thank you. You know, speaking from, and I hate to use the term, the liberal Jeffersonian tradition, I'm appalled by it. Our congregation is so poor the mice have left. And if they want to get blood out of a turnip, they're looking for the wrong avenue of revenue.
Well, I'm not for it. I've thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And the only thing it's going to accomplish is a lot of churches are going to close. A lot of good work that's being done is not going to be done any longer. And then it's going to fall into, at best, local governments, at worst, the federal government's hands. And then it's really going to cost us a lot of money.
Art, economically, it's my view they are trying to target some of the mainstream powerful religious entities that do indeed have strong investments in equity, security, and perhaps
right.
they do garner a profit from that. But our congregation is extremely small, not exactly well endowed. And it would be ridiculous unless this law, as it is written here, is severely modified. Listen, may I ask you a couple of questions about Chupacabra?
Sure.
Our local CBS affiliate profiled a guest you had either on your program or Dreamland. I don't remember which.
Well, they're both my programs.
Well, I understand, sir. The gentleman that is a forensic veterinary pathologist in the Northwest.
Yes.
And it provided a beautiful biography of this guy. Have you been in contact with this gentleman about this recent phenomena at all?
Not yet, no.
I imagine, and I would encourage any of your guests to get biological data about this, to send the tissue samples to him. He is an honorable scientist, and he will provide the DNA data, the histologic data, and with all due respect to your caller half an hour ago that's a microscopist, if he gets tissue samples, send it to the lad in the Northwest.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for the call. That's a good suggestion, and eventually we're going to figure out what's going on with this Chupacabra thing. I don't have the answers. I don't know if the photograph on my webpage is a real one. I can tell you this. It's weird. It's very, very weird. And it's scary. You know, it's just... go take a look. You know, if you've got a computer, take a look. If not, we'll get it on the... get it into the newsletter, the next issue of the newsletter. At any rate, once again, the picture of the Chupacabra that everybody seems to want. even if it isn't real, it's scary as hell. You'll love it. It's www.artbell.com. That's my web address.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 28th of May, 1996. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 28, 1996.
Rockin' and rollin' with talk radio all night long. Live right here because this radio station cares enough to have it on for you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. How you doing?
Fine.
That's good. I called you last week during Dr. Pierce's show.
Yes.
Yes. And a couple of calls later, a caller called up and referred to me as the Negro from Houston.
I recall.
And a historical revisionist.
I recall very well, yes.
Yes. I just wanted to say that there's a book by Mr. James called Stolen Legacy,
mm-hmm.
How Greek Philosophy is Egyptian Philosophy.
Yes, sir.
And Sheikh Anadab has a book called He's an Anthropologist. I don't know if it counts because he's an African anthropologist, but...
well, I can already tell you if that caller was here, he would say it doesn't count, and for exactly that reason.
Yeah, I know. but his book is called The African Origins of Civilization. And he took melanin samples from most of the Egyptian, pharaonic Egyptian mummies,
mm-hmm.
and found 90% melanin in most of the mummy's skin. And as you know, most European or people of European descent don't have that much melanin in their skin.
Correct.
Now, there were some mummies with a lot less melanin in their skin, but a lot of Egyptologists realized that the Hyksos were a white tribe that invaded Egypt, the northern part of Egypt, at a certain time in Egypt's history. So there were white pharaohs, but they were concurrent with black pharaohs. So I just wanted to say that, you know, I wasn't talking off the top of my head.
I understand, and I'm glad you cited the references. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Take care, my friend. That was quite something. A lot of you who have just joined the show would not have heard that. We did an interview, very troubling, frightening, scary interview with the fellow who was on 60 Minutes the week before. His name, Dr. William Pierce. He wrote the Turner Diaries. And if you saw him on 60 Minutes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we did an extensive interview with him, and he is one scary guy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Charles, St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, first I'd like to compliment your wife for doing an outstanding job Sunday night.
Oh, that's right. I wonder how many people managed to hear that. She was on the air Sunday night for an hour. And that was, you know, I'll tell you something. That was the first time she had been on the air in about 3 or 4 months.
Oh, I'm just tuning in because I'm just start listening about, I'd say a couple of months ago, when you got those Roswell pieces and I began listening in.
Well, you know, I've got new ones.
Yeah, I heard you. Well, look like you got a load on your hands there.
You got it.
Well, I just want to make that compliment to you and extend it to your wife.
Thank you, and I will. You can bet I'll pass it on to her.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
Take care. She was on the air Sunday night, this last, from 10 to 11, and did a very good job. It's very hard. I can tell you, from being off for 3 days, that it takes me a little while to acclimate back into doing the show again. Try being off for 3 or 4 months and come in and do a talk show. Ooh, that's hard. That's very hard. And she came in here and did it all by herself. Had a blast. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
I'm shocked. This is cool. You're my nighttime hero.
Thank you. Where are you?
I am in Kansas City.
All right.
And I want to know why people that are up all day have such a problem with people that are up all night. I love being up at night.
So do I.
It is the best time, and I don't understand. My friends are all daytime people, and they just think staying up all night is wrong.
You know a study I would like to see?
What?
I wonder who lives longer, people who work all night for years and years and years, or people who work during the day and sleep all night.
I have a theory. I think that we look younger and are probably healthier. We're not exposed to the ultraviolet rays.
I happen to agree with that.
And I think I'm a healthier person. I exercise at night. I do everything everybody else would do during the day at night. But I have to tell you, I'm thrilled. I've been listening to you for a long time, and you are my bestest night friend.
All right. Well, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. I wonder, maybe it gets to the point after a while where even human beings become nocturnal. Even getting to the point where prolonged exposure to the sunlight during the day can cause you to melt like the Wicked Witch of the North. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Whoops, what a bin. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
I'm calling from Calabasas, California.
Well, all right.
I'm interested in what you're saying about night people because I've recently just switched my schedule around.
You'll live.
I love it.
Oh, you do already, huh?
I did it voluntarily. I don't have a job. I work for myself. And you said the word creative.
Yes.
And I'm a songwriter.
You see, songwriters, musicians, people who put together computer software, people who write novels. Tom Clancy, for example, I was talking to Clancy the other day. He stays up late and writes and writes and writes. It's the creative time.
It is. It's wonderful. No one's calling me on the phone. No one's stopping by my house.
That's right.
And there's you to keep me company. That's really the one drawback, is that you can't call people and chat with them, but except you, and it's hard to get through.
Well, I'm glad you made it, and welcome to the right side of the day.
Hey, thanks. You know, can I ask you, I wanted to talk about the chupacabra for a minute. I called you once before and talked about being scared by some birds taking off next week.
I recall, yes.
Early on, I thought you had said something about they were finding just the hindquarters of animals.
Linda Howe reported on a number of cattle mutilations that ended up like that. But with regard to the chupacabra, no, they find bite marks on the neck and all the blood.
And the neck alone.
Yep.
So if I got, well, you know those collars that you can get for fighting dogs that are like 3 inches wide with spikes on them?
Yes.
If I wore one of those and put one on my little dog, you think I'd be all right?
No.
Okay,
I think if Chupacabra wants you, it will have you. And all that is within you.
Hey, thanks for the great show, Art.
See you later.
All right.
Bye. I don't know. For some reason, Chupacabra has caught everybody's attention. You know, that's almost worth asking about. I mean, I'm not saying it's not real, but it might not be. Something is out there. Something is doing all of this. And yet there is an intense interest in this creature. Why do you suppose that is? Why do we so like our monsters? We like monsters. It comes from our childhood. Days when we used to sit around campfire telling each other jokes, scaring people like to be scared. They actually like to be scared. Think about it. There's no sun out there now. Barely a moon. Less than half. Not enough light. Nobody would hear you scream. Gives you a little chill, doesn't it? A creature, an ugly, awful, evil-looking creature. And if you download the photograph and take a look at it, you'll see how evil and ugly it is. There's a little part of you that likes being scared, isn't there? When you walk outside, when you pass by those bushes, when you hear a little noise off to the left or right, something that might be preparing to leap out at you, well, it's not fun then, but it gives you kind of an adrenaline rush, doesn't it? People like to be scared. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Radio Free America.
Hey, hey, hey.
Turns out that monster in the White House might be in a little trouble, Art.
Well, he might be.
Yeah,
he's already in trouble if it goes no further than it has gone right now.
Well,
perceptually, politically,
right.
He's in trouble.
Well, the jury believed a convicted felon over the President of the United States, Art.
That's really a kind of a misnomer. You might conclude they did not believe the President.
Right.
But really, this was a document-type trial more than it was a David Hale versus President Clinton trial.
That's exactly right, and you are correct with it. You know, Ken Starr hasn't done the job that I would like to see him do, but I would think he's going to be a bird dog in the First Lady.
I've thought all along that's where this is going to go.
I know that, but you know what the key is, Art, and you're going to go, oh, Chuck. But Jim Leach...
Let me do it now. Oh, Chuck.
Jim Leach is in charge of the 10th MENA investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the real meat of this story is. And you know it. And the Wall Street Journal knows it. And let me tell you something. That son of a gun needs to do his job. Because I just... Have you seen this new one? What is it? Obstruction of Justice, the MENA connection. Have you seen this video that's out?
No, not yet.
Well, you need to catch this thing, pal. It is the creepiest thing that I've ever seen. But anyway, let me change the subject on Buchanan.
Sure.
You know, I don't like being called a member of the far right. And by the way, Pat received, second to Bill Clinton, more Democratic votes than anyone else. And the bottom line is that both parties don't like, they even called him a liberal, Art, when he was, you know, had a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
Because of
well,
that, then, yeah.
Well, now, he was beginning to cozy up to the unions a little bit, and that's where that came from.
Right. But, you know, so basically you've got, you know, two political forces that rallied around the Buchanan camp. So it's not just the right-wing extremists that,
I thought, by the way, that Buchanan did just the right thing with regard to Washington. I can't believe they would say that to Buchanan. You will do the following. You will, without qualification, endorse Bob Dole. You know, I'd have said the same thing to him.
You know, Art, you know, I can't, you know, I've invested a lot of money with Pat. I'm gonna do what he says, you know, but I'm gonna wait to hear what he has to say. And if he doesn't support Dole, I'm not gonna support Dole.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Ah, Chuck. See, I didn't want to disappoint you. I happen to agree with what Pat Buchanan just did, and I would have done the same thing. Now, I was not particularly a Buchanan supporter during the primaries, and I thought that some allegations with regard to Pat were on the money. Some he helped the press with. I mean, the press that was already having a field day. He made it all the easier for them. But I think this move by the Dole campaign, and it is the Dole campaign, you know damn well that you had to go on high to get that kind of order with regard to what Mr. Buchanan would have to do if he wanted to participate up in Washington. That was wrong. Absolutely wrong. I'm really fed up at the moment with politics. I'm fed up. I'm upset with it. I don't like the race coming up. I don't much like the candidate. No, wait a minute. Let me correct that. I don't like the candidates. And I don't know when I'm going to get energized. Or even if I am going to. This year, and I have been every year. I'm a political animal, I'll tell you, but I feel disconnected, disenfranchised, period. Maybe that will change. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, is this, Art?
Yes.
Hey, Art, listen, I'm fed up with politics, too. I am totally, disgusted with the way that the Republican Party has disintegrated within itself.
I know.
We have totally annihilated our own beliefs and our values and the way that we should be coming off on the American public. What happened to values? What happened to American ethics? You know, we should be supporting ourselves. We should be behind each other. We should be behind American dignity.
All right. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis. All right. You're a little hard to hear. You're way down in the mud there. Well, that's a good question. What has happened to America and to our values and... a lot of things have happened, haven't they? We now have a president who is able to politically co-opt just about every issue that Bob Dole might bring up. And about the only way that I think Mr. Clinton is going to lose the election is if he does it to himself. Do you understand what I mean? He's got to lose the election. The election is his to lose. Even with Whitewater. They will keep it at bay at least until the election. I guarantee. I guarantee. And barring a miracle, Mr. Clinton's going to be reelected. Simple as that. That's what I believe. I wish I didn't believe it, but I do. And so I guess that's one of the reasons, aside from yesterday's news, that I am just sort of disenchanted with politics altogether. Not excited yet this year. Maybe I will be. Maybe I will be. Maybe something will come along and make it exciting. But it's not there now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Sheldon from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
It's augmentatively becoming more harder to get through to you.
Harder?
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I don't think you've mentioned it since you used to run your Area 2000 show.
Oh, long time ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You must have lived in Las Vegas.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Well, because Area 2000 aired only from the Las Vegas affiliate.
Yeah, that's where I listened to it. I lived in Las Vegas for a while. Anyway, have you ever heard of this show called UFOs Tonight with Don Ecker?
Yes, I have.
Okay, is that a pretty good radio show to listen to?
That I don't know. I've heard of the show. I've never heard it.
Do you know how to pick it up?
No idea at all.
Okay, I'll give you it. It's SATCOM C3 Charlie 3, transponder 23, audio frequency 7.235.
Where is it aired, though, commercially?
You have to have a satellite dish to pick it up.
Oh, so it's not on commercial broadcast?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
It's on Saturday night, 9 to 11 Pacific time.
I see.
So I just wanted to bring that up to your audience, so they might want to check it out.
Promoting somebody else's program?
Well, you said you were the only national weekly radio talk show devoted to the subject of UFOs. This is another one.
No, I didn't. There's Laura Lee up in Seattle. She's on every week talking about this kind of material. There are several others. I never claimed to be the only one. We are simply the biggest one by a long shot.
Well, I misinterpreted you then. Sorry.
We'll see you later. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art?
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, you were just talking about people who work nights?
A little bit, yes. Where are you?
I'm in Idaho City.
Idaho City.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'm a respiratory therapist, and I work nights for about 5 years.
I'm sorry, what kind of therapist?
Respiratory.
Respiratory, all right.
Uh-huh.
Well, people need to breathe at night, too, don't they?
Yeah, but it screwed up my endocrine system.
Uh-oh.
And ever since... I worked for about 5 or 6 years, and ever since I've had to go on, like, antidepressants during the day and sleeping pills at night, because I can't sleep at night.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Do you still work at night?
No.
No?
No, I quit.
Well, then, is it reasonable to ask you what you're doing awake now?
Well, I still have trouble sleeping at night.
Even with sleeping pills?
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess it's an
ill... No, it's not for everybody.
No, I understand. Believe me, I do. Thank you. It's an ill wind that doesn't blow some talk show host some good. That'd be me, I guess. Here all night long with live talk radio because this station cares enough to have it on for you. You ought to thank them.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this... Somewhere in Time.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Radio in the nighttime. This wonderful nighttime of ours, subject of yet another fax from one of you night people out there. By the way, is the shuttle on schedule? You might keep me informed by fax. My fax number here is area code 702-727-8499. I should like to know. Because if they are on schedule, I've got to let everybody know about 3:30 or so to get outside and take a look. It is, if they are on schedule, it's going to really be something. Hi, Art. I wonder how many night people out there have been subjected to the usual insulting comments that I have. I'm perplexed by the fact that day people are so obsessed with the hours that night people keep. Frankly, I'm not the least bit interested in their sleeping patterns, and yet their interest in mine seems to border on defensiveness to the extent that they resort to name-calling. I have been called unsocial, stuck-up, vampire, hermit, lazy, because I sleep during the day, recluse, werewolf, and the list goes on. And then there's the classic day person question. What can you possibly do at night? To me, this question is asinine and intrusive. I refuse to justify my lifestyle to these people, so I don't. I'm a photographer and writer. And as you are, I've always found the night hours to be the most creative and introspective time. And I enjoy the peace, the quiet. I'm convinced that day people feed on chaos and feel guilty about this fact. Hence their reaction to us. Signed, Lori. Lori, I could not agree more, and I am saving this fax in a very special place for the next time we have this kind of a discussion. It's absolutely true. End of case. All right, I am now going to do something I don't do very frequently. Aside from the Chupa song, there was one other that was sent to me, I don't know, it was a couple of months ago, and I played it once or twice, and I've had a million faxes, a request tonight, and then several more faxes, so here it is. It's also for my friends in Nashville. It's really for everybody. I think you'll enjoy this. I got a big laugh out of it when I got it. Listen to the words very, very carefully. Here we go.
Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the Grays. The short little guys with the big black eyes from a galaxy far away. I've heard the horror stories being taken in the dead of night. Laid out on the table like a Christmas turkey, I'm afraid I die from fright. They can paralyze you with their eyes and levitate you out of bed. Pull you right up through the ceiling and start messing with your head. Now if they would just stop at that, I wouldn't mind too much. But I've heard they'll probe you up and down and you won't like where they touch. Witnesses say they're a humorless bunch, and by that I'm quite surprised. Cause they watch all the reruns of I Love Lucy and the best of Saturday Night Live. I don't want to be a live experiment by the children in a place unknown. Cause they'll splice your genes and make grotesque things with my tadpole guys alone. Please, Lord, if I'm abducted, don't let it be the Grays. Short little guys with the big black eyes from a galaxy far away. I've heard the horror stories being taken in the dead of night. Laid out on the table like a Christmas turkey, I'm afraid I'd die from fright. When Eisenhower signed the treaty, he never thought they'd stay. Maybe hang around long enough to mutilate some cattle and they'd be on their way. We built them underground bases and they're feeling right at home. Like that dreamland in Nevada, where the antelope and aliens roam. And Art Bell knows what's going on, they probably give him rides for free. For all we know, he's one of them. That's why he's on radio and not TV. Think about it.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing, Art?
I'm doing all right.
That's great. I was just wondering if you knew of the, what the word chupacabra means. And
goat sucker.
Goat sucker. Okay, I hadn't heard that on your show. Just wanted to let you know I'm calling from El Paso.
El Paso, Texas.
Yes, down by the border. And you got some free publicity the other day on one of the local FM radio stations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were talking about the chupacabra.
Ah, yes.
They were kind of making fun of it, but
of course they were.
Yeah, it's a morning show, you know, they're trying to be Howard Stern. And
yeah, right, well, that's fine. When one of them comes up missing, trying to get to the radio station early before the sun comes up, and they find his body bereft of all blood, that'll be the last time they joke.
Yeah, sure will. Anyways, love your show, and surprised I got through. I usually get the AT&T lady also, and
I know
I hate her.
Well, she's not as cute as the MCI girl.
Oh, definitely not.
Boy, they've got a new commercial with the MCI girl, and she's cuter than ever.
Oh, really?
If they get her looking any cuter, I'm just not going to be able to handle it.
They probably listen to your show.
I want to interview her. I don't know why.
Personally.
Actually, I would like to interview the MCI girl, and I would especially like to interview the AT&T girl who cuts people off. Now, wouldn't you like to have a go at her?
I think so, but I'd have to, you know, have some visual aid, I think.
All right. Thank you. Well, you know, whoever the operator is, whether she's with AT&T or MCI or whatever phone company you've got, you can visualize the one who cuts you off as ugly and mean, like the meanest teacher you ever had. And then when you get through, why, God bless the phone company, right? Right. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This must be Fort Wayne, Indiana night or something. I'm calling from Fort Wayne, too.
Well, that's fine. When it
rains, it pours, doesn't it?
Yes.
But anyway, you've been off the air for about 12 minutes here. It really makes me mad. I was wondering if you could help me out on a... First of all, they say they can't carry your last hour because Indiana being in the dark ages, we don't change times.
We
keep the same damn time, and hardly anybody else in the United States does that.
Well,
I think our state, maybe parts of Michigan or something.
Well, no, Arizona does it.
Okay. But do you know of any, like, powerful AM stations around here? I listen to WGL up here, and I was wondering if you know of any powerful AM stations or something that I could catch that I might be able to catch your last hour.
Not offhand, because, you see, as you go east from, I'm in the Pacific time zone. So, what are you, Central?
Yeah.
Central. Okay, well, that's 2 hours. So, it's already after 5 o'clock there, and, you know, they've got morning shows to do, and they're no different than anybody else back there. So, that's kind of the way it goes. Do you have a satellite dish?
I do have a digital dish.
Digital, huh? Well, there'll be some news coming on that soon, but I can't give it out right now. So, for now, there is no hope.
Okay. Oh, well. I just have to live with the 5 hours.
Wait a minute. There is one thing. Do you have a computer?
No, but I will be getting one soon.
Well, when you do, you can listen to it on real audio on your computer.
And I won't miss a minute.
That's right.
That's wonderful. Thanks a lot, Art.
There you go. Take care. There's always a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. And as you know, we are hard at work on shortwave as well, so hang in there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Al from Whitefish, Montana.
Hello, Al.
And I was wondering, I got three questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in Chupacabra, number one?
Well, I believe something is out there in answer to your question. I don't know if it is the creature that we have a photograph of, supposedly. I don't know if
it... I saw the picture.
Yeah, I think there's something out there, yes.
Okay, and number two, do most of the attacks happen at night?
Yes.
Yes, mostly at night?
Yes.
And the third question is, I live in Montana. You said that they had reports of it in Oregon. I was wondering if you know anything about anything in Montana.
Not yet, but if you're desperate for something, I know a lot of truckers, and if we can catch one, I'm sure we could get one up there for you.
And one other thing, how big are those? I couldn't tell by the picture the size of how big this thing would be.
Well, they are reputed to be about 4 feet tall.
About 4 foot.
When they're on their hind legs, about 4 feet tall,
and
yeah.
Do they have wings, or I couldn't tell. I could see the hands sticking out, but I couldn't tell.
They're supposed to have wings. The people that have eyewitness reports have talked about wings.
Hmm. Well, that's something amazing. We've been closing our windows around here lately after we heard that it was in Oregon.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know. Something's out there. Something's doing this. Chupacabra? I don't know. Is the photograph we have real? I don't know. I just get these things, and if they're interesting, I put them up there for you to see. And that is one that we have done that with, put up there for you to see. What do you think? Hundreds, no, thousands now of animals have been apparently attacked by something that takes their blood. Now, what will do that? I don't know of any animal that does that. Bats, there are vampire bats, but they just lap up. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it. First time, well, you would have been. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. First of all, I don't have a radio on, but I hear an echo. Do you hear an echo?
Yes, I do.
Well, I don't have any radio. My radios are
off. Then why are you echoing?
I have no idea. But I'm not echoing. All right. The homeless man, somehow I believe that man. I have never had those problems, but I somehow believe him.
Wait a minute. I believed him until he started taking off on the Catholic Church in a larger way with the bankers and all the rest of it. Then I began to detect a chip on his shoulder, shall we say.
Well, he could have very well had resentment if he did go through that kind of treatment. But mm-hmm. somebody ought to check that out under, however you would do that, somebody that really isn't homeless. But anyway, you're going to have the truck driver on for the Freeman problem. And I don't understand this Freeman cause. I don't know what their, manifesto is. But I was looking at the paper, and Brandy Switzer is Leroy Switzer's daughter, and she signed a sworn affidavit concerning the mistreatment of her father by law enforcement. And if you could get a hold of Brandy to kind of balance off the truck drivers.
Well, what makes you think he's going to be negative?
Negative.
I mean, we haven't heard from him yet, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he does, she's in Billings. It's kind of a horrible story. It's in the May 27th spotlight. I know it's not your favorite, but it was a sworn affidavit.
All right, well, thank you. Yeah, she's talking about the supposed torture of her father. And while he was in custody, the supposed torture of her father. So, yeah, you know me. I'll interview anybody. So, if there's one thing that I really do try to be, whether I agree with something or not, I try to be fair with regard to the interviews I do. And I will interview people that I radically disagree with, believe me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Pardon?
You're on the air.
Art?
That's me.
Okay, I got to turn my radio off then, don't I?
Yes, you
I'm
do.
I'm calling in support of that guy that called about the homeless.
Yes.
I'm calling from the Tri-Cities in Washington.
Yes.
And I deal with the VFW down here, and I have tried to help people. We try to help them out, but when we run to the end of our financial support, the only person we found around here is the Salvation Army. The church has absolutely refused to help out.
Does the Salvation Army help?
Yes, they do help out. They do help out.
They are tax exempt.
Yeah, but the churches around here, no, unless you are a member of the church or have an affiliation with the church, they have always got excuses. They just don't want to help.
Well, there are, yes, it can't be endless, and there are a lot of churches that help their own. It's true.
That's right, uh-huh.
Not all churches endlessly help everybody and put on food for everybody to eat who needs it. They can't do it.
Well, I just...
But if we tax their buildings, then there's going to be even less of it. Do you want to tax the Salvation Army?
No, I don't believe in taxing them, and I just think there's times when they could help, and they just won't unless you belong to the religion. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure some of that is absolutely correct, yes.
Okay, well, thank you, Art.
Take care. But it's still helping out, isn't it? Doesn't mean that anybody off the street can just come in and demand help and get it. I know that. But, I mean, before you make this move with regard to removing a church's tax-exempt status, ask yourself if the government is going to be able to pick up the slack. What do you think? And if they do, how much is that going to cost us? These are things you need to ask yourself. Of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Johnny from Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments tonight.
All right.
I wanted to talk to you about La Chupa...
Cabra.
Cabra?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be going down next Monday into Mexico City.
Mm.
And I wanted to talk to some of my relatives out there.
Now, I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, what if one hitched a ride back with you? Now, Hawaii doesn't even have snakes.
Right.
Right? And I know for doggone sure they don't want chupacabras.
Well, I was just going to ask and inquire about them and see if they know any more than the people in the, you know, the San Diego, Texas area and stuff like that. And
I mean, just hearing this makes me want to tell you guys to set up a chupacabra checkpoint.
Anyways, I wanted to talk a little bit today, too, about the ruling in Arkansas down there. I really don't think it's going to affect the president that much. He's got a 20-point lead over Dole right now. And I don't know, as far as Hillary, I don't know if they want to have the baby now, you know, now that they're going to be, I think Bill's going to be reelected myself.
With or without the baby?
With or without the baby, right. And I don't think that's a big deal down there in Washington to them anyways right now. I mean, that's the last on my – that would be the last of my worries about a little baby if I was running for the presidency is trying to get me reelected. Anyways, I did want to tell you, though, that I was going to be going down to Mexico, and I want to talk to some of my relatives out there. And
well, call us back after you get back.
Yeah, I sure will.
If they let you back to Hawaii.
If they let me back, well, I got to come back. So.
All right. Thank you. I always thought that amazing. I wonder if it is still true that they do not have snakes in Hawaii. Do you know that? The tropical paradise that it is, what I recall hearing over the years, is that there are no snakes in Hawaii, and they don't let them in. They don't want them. Or maybe there are now snakes. I don't know. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Daryl from Portland.
Hi, Daryl.
Just going to comment. I don't think I could vote for Dole. He's, you know, as much as I respect him because he's a veteran, I have utmost respect for all veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what would really change my mind on for Dole is if he came out and said that they were going to cut off trade with China. You know, I see this country get pushed around by this communist China over there constantly, and Clinton doesn't want to do a darn thing about it. And, you know, if Dole came out and said, I'm going to be tough on China, he might be able to sway my vote a little bit.
Uh-huh. Well, sir, all right, a very interesting premise, but I actually disagree with you, and for that matter, so does Bob Dole. I've been to China. I've seen communist China, and I really have got to tell you a couple things. One is, much as we might like to lock them out, get tough, even cut off our relationship with China, we can't do that. We can't afford to do it. And I don't think any major country in the world right now can afford to do it. And if you had been to China, you would understand why. It's a tough pill to swallow politically, but I admire Bob Dole for actually going along with Bill Clinton with regard to China, because to do anything else would be insane.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Information that the shuttle has begun to deorbit. Once that process has begun, she is coming down. The shuttle will be on time and will land on runway 33 at the Kennedy Space Center. Landing will occur during what would have been orbit 161 at 4:09 a.m. Visible? It should be visible. This really is going to be something to see. So if you're in Northern California, Central Nevada, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Oklahoma, the Texas Panhandle, or Mississippi, you're going to want to go outside any minute now. Take a transistor with you, and you may get the show of a lifetime. This really is something. I saw one of the other shuttle reentries, and oh man, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible. It began as sort of an orange blur in the western sky. And the blur got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it began to shoot across the sky. And there was this tremendous trail that it left in the very much pre-dawn time as we have right now. And, of course, at the altitude the shuttle is, while it's in the west particularly, it is reflecting sunlight, and it's the damnedest thing you ever saw. So if you have a little bit of extra time in the next few minutes, you better get outside and watch for the shuttle. And I want some reports, particularly from California. When the people in California begin to see it, you know it's about time. So, how's that? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
This is, I'm afraid to say, Steve.
Uh-huh.
In Norman, Oklahoma, listening on WKY, the first radio station west of the Mississippi. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
I was wanting to comment to our first lady that if she wished to get pregnant and have another child, it would behoove her to do that while her active duty husband was still in office. That way they could have the child on a military
base,
free
yes,
of charge. I'm really concerned about the slur against the militia movement. I'm a historian by nature and thought, and I have studied the Confederate Constitution and the things which it offered up for, you know, the political spectrum debate. And the states' rights, free determinism, the intense limitations it placed upon elected officials, I think, really, despite the Confederacy's obvious, you know, racial discrimination and other bad points, it may have been a better choice for us. And the militia movement, I think, in some circumstances and instances, tends to be reliving some of those points. And it disturbs me to see the media collectively kind of paint the broad brush of white separatist, supremacist, Christian identity, what have you, mm-hmm. brush on the whole militia movement.
Well,
I think it's further delineated by the fact that, you know, the militia movement is distancing itself from, you know, the Justice Township people.
Well, it seems to be now, but it certainly was not in the beginning. I appreciate your comments, and to some degree, you're correct. And I am glad that the militia movement is waking up, and I think the longer this goes on, the more facts that are known about the Freeman, the less danger there is. So I think the FBI, in a way, is right to have waited and to have allowed the news and the media to catch up with what these Freemen really are, what they're all about. Had it occurred, had the FBI moved quickly, there would not have been an education out there. And there would have been a lot of militia movements that would have, sort of as a reactionary thing, responded and gone to the rescue of the Freemen, and there would have been real trouble. So time is on the side of peace, in my opinion. On my shuttle reporting line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Okay.
I am in downtown Denver on my roof.
Yes, sir.
And it's way too cloudy and foggy to see anything.
Ah, I'm sorry to hear that.
But about the Bigfoot.
Well, don't fall off your roof.
The proper way to pluralize Bigfoot is Big Feet.
It would be Big Feet.
Yes, but I don't think that...
As opposed to Big Footsies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Bigfoot is kind of a layman's term for the creature.
It is.
And Yeti, I think, is more of a proper name for it. And the way to pluralize Yeti is...
Yeti?
Yeti.
All right, well, thank you very much. Hang in there. You never know. You might see a bright orange glow through the cloud. So we're the reports will come from the west first. I wonder if Hawaii will see it. On my shuttle reporting line, you're on the air. No, that's not a shuttle report, obviously. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you this morning?
Fine.
Let me turn my radio down.
All right, good.
I would get through. I am west of New Orleans.
Okay.
Do you think I'd be able to see it if I go outside?
That's a good question. It might be to the north of you too far. You would certainly want to look north.
I've got binoculars, a small set of binoculars I could look at.
Right. Give it a try and look north.
All right. I want to give you some food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
If Hillary adopts a baby.
Yes.
I think it will be a minority baby.
Oh, a minority baby?
A black baby.
Well, that would certainly engender yet more sympathy.
It would ensure the black vote. Clinton is coming down to New Orleans, supposedly this week or next week.
Is he?
He needs that black vote. New Orleans is about 65% black now.
Do you think they would... Well, that's a little much for even me, to imagine they would do that for the vote.
I don't put anything past him.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
For the vote.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
All right, thank you, dear. I want to concentrate on my shuttle line here. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Lance from Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Yes.
I was outside checking out the southern horizon to see if I could see anything about the space shuttle, but I don't see anything up there.
Nothing, huh?
No, we got a clear sky. It's a beautiful evening. It's a little crispy, but...
Well, don't give up.
No, I'll be outside. I sent you an article out of the Oregonian last Friday. I know you got a lot of mail and everything, but they talked a little bit about the chupacabra.
Yes.
And what they basically said was that it's 90% hype, you know, it's down in Mexico and everything, because the article said that the doctors that examined the mutilated animals down there said that there was blood in the system, and they believe that it was a pack of wild dogs. But
yeah, I know. I saw that story too.
Yeah, but
I don't believe it.
Yeah, and
because we've talked to too many pathologists through Linda Howe, who have documented what this thing has done, and it's not dogs.
Yeah, okay, well, I sent you that article. Plus, also, I believe I heard you mention one time that you were a hang glider.
Well, I have done some hang gliding, yes, and broke my arm in the process. Mm-hmm.
Oh, crashed and burned, huh?
Crashed and burned, yes. All right, I've got to run. Thank you. I'm holding that line open to see if anybody can see the shuttle coming back. So please, my West of the Rockies line... Shuttle reports only at 1-800-618-8255. On my shuttle line, you're on the air. Hello. No, see, it's not a shuttle report. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
This is first time caller. This is Kevin in KABC in Los Angeles.
Hi, Kevin.
And, first time I've ever called a talk radio program, and I've been listening to you since last year. About last September.
That'd be about when we came on.
That's right. And you were replaced by someone who was on the air here in Los Angeles for some time, but he was replaced, and I found you, since that time, your show to be fascinating. I've heard you talk a great deal about what you refer to as the quickening.
Yes.
And I've wondered that what led you to believe that somehow that we are somehow experiencing somehow, I guess, what you would refer to somehow as an end of, I guess, you know, really what I think you could only characterize as what we consider to be civilization or, you know, that which we really can understand. And if so...
Well, for one thing, I'm not sure it's an end.
Yeah.
I know that events are quickening. Mm-hmm. I don't pretend to know what it's going to lead to. I think a change, not the end. Things will go on, man will go on. But there's going to be a big change. There's going to be a big disruption. That's what I believe.
Do you think this in any way coincides with what a lot of Christians have thought about the coming of the Lord or the rapture or the end of the world, or if it somehow relates to it? It's just a curiosity with me as a Christian. something that's fascinated me.
It could be that. It could be that. But I, you know, as an article of faith, I don't necessarily believe that. It could be, that could be what it's leading to. I don't know.
But I'd ask you in closing, what do you think that, you know, I'm 32 years old and you're a lot older than I. What do you think has led us to where we are now? And if so, is there anything we can do to change it? Or are we somehow destined somehow to be participants in this one way or the other?
It's a really good question. Thank you very much. I think that we are destined to be participants in it, to experience it. And I think that we have passed the point of no return. I don't mean to sound negative, but I think that it's past the point of no return. I think what is coming is going to occur. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what form it's going to take. I just believe that it is going to occur. On my shuttle line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is the shuttle. It's flying right over Sacramento right now.
It is?
Yeah, I'm on Interstate 80 heading towards Sacramento, coming down out of the mountain.
No kidding. What are you seeing?
It is beautiful.
Is it?
It's got a tail on it that's got to be miles and miles long. It is gorgeous. It's lighting up the whole sky. It's a nice orange color.
That's the color it is, all right.
And it's leaving like a blue trail.
Like a blue trail?
Yeah, it's just the way the sun's hitting it causes it to look kind of blue.
It's not fair. Here I am on the air. Well, I'll wait. Where is it in the sky, roughly, to you? About halfway across, all the way across, or what?
It's about halfway up. It's about 10 o'clock in the sky.
Right, but I mean, has it gone...
It's down by Los Angeles. No, it's way just about ready to drop behind the mountains. You can't see it now.
All right. Thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Well, I bet you got to see it. That's great. I heard you on the air.
I had to pick just the right moment, you know, to run out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I saw it.
Yeah, is Gord Michael Scallion coming back on? And have you had any more information about another debate with Mitchell and Hoagland?
Well, we're going to be doing another one. Gordon Michael will eventually come on. He sent me a fax here a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which I read on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard parts of it.
Okay, well then, you know what the story is there. With regard to another Hoagland-Mitchell debate, yes, that's in the cards, and I'll let you know when. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hey, I tell you what, I got a Chupacabra story for you.
Yes?
I was in Miami 2 weeks ago. I'm calling from Las Vegas, and I just looked out and I missed the shuttle. So, and the cab driver was taking me to the airport, and he was telling me about this thing that attacked an animal at the Miami Zoo. I go, oh, the chupacabra. He looked at me.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was Cuban. He was amazed that I even knew about it. So I don't know if you've had any reports from Miami about that at the zoo where an animal had all its blood sucked up.
No, that's a new one.
Yeah.
That's a new one, so that's not good news.
No, it's not. And also, I know you're into computers a lot. You need to check out Microsoft's new Internet Explorer 3.0.
Oh, yes. What do you think?
Oh, I like it. I downloaded it today.
I have not yet been on their network, but I hear it's pretty hot stuff.
It is, and they also have a new feature, which is called, let me see here. It's called the Net Meeting.
Yes.
It allows you to chat, talk voice, draw on a whiteboard with other people in a conference over the Internet, and also control your own applications on your computer.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I've been doing something like that for some time and have been involved in quite a few chat rooms. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Good morning.
Now, does the space shuttle, does it go as fast as a falling star, or is it slower than that?
Does it what?
Like when it goes across the sky, is it like a meteorite, a falling star, or does it go slower?
To the eye... I think slower. And it goes across the sky, not obviously down. There are some shooting stars that appear to go horizontal, but this goes very horizontal.
Either I saw the shuttle or an incredible, incredible falling star.
Well, I think you probably saw the shuttle.
I know. That was really cool. I'm freezing, though.
Well, it was worth it, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was neat. Do you know, I heard Mona on the radio.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. It was really neat. You know why? Because I don't think my radio station regularly carries that show.
Oh.
They always put some other people on. Or some, I don't know. That's on. I was just about to tune in Bill Wattenberg, and I said, oh, I know that voice. Who is that? And so she did really good. I felt like she was really nervous, though.
Yeah, she was. Well, when you only do it once every few months, you know, you get very nervous.
Yeah. It's not like riding a bike?
Well, not really. I mean, even my taking 3 days off threw me a little bit off pace, and it takes me a day or two to get back into the groove.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what months will do to you.
Yeah, I guess so. So do you think Bob Dole jumping up and down now that over the Whitewater verdict?
Privately.
Privately, secretly. I know he's in his bedroom going, yes!
Finally, something.
Yeah, I know,
sure.
That's what I was thinking. I was trying to imagine what he would do. He's so sober.
In fact, that's a good question. Thank you. What do you think Bob Dole said in private about the convictions in Little Rock yesterday? What were his private comments? West of the Rockies. Would have been on the air. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Barrow.
Hello.
This is Don in, pardon me, Cahokia, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to call a couple quick items. You might know that the Goddard Amateur Radio Club rebroadcast the shuttle broadcast, and they're currently on 7.185 on 40 meters.
Very good. You can also hear them generally on VHF and UHF frequencies as well.
Right. And another thing, I've got a good friend who is probably in charge of one of the HARP antenna sites.
Oh, really?
And he's also a ham. I don't want to obviously mention any call signs or any names, but I'll probably be writing to him and see if I can get some information from him. And if I learn anything, I've got your fax number. I'll send you a fax on it.
By all means, please do. Thank you. One of the most ludicrous things I've heard in a long time is that one of the HARP officials recently defended the HARP project by suggesting that amateur radio operators put a very great deal more radiation into the atmosphere every day than the HARP project does. Well, of course, that is specifically true, but they do not focus that energy on a specific point of the ionosphere with the intent of actually burning a hole in it. It is a very broad spectrum signal that reflects from the ionosphere, and not even close to what HARP plans to do. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning to you.
I want you to know that I took your advice. I don't know why, but I woke up. I didn't set the alarm. I woke up, and I saw what it was about 20 minutes to 4,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about it. It had started reentry. I'm so excited because I got to see it.
Wasn't that cool?
It was so fabulous. I went out.
Where are you?
I'm in Fremont, California, which is between San Francisco and San Jose on
right.
the East Bay side.
Right.
Anyway, so I went out on my back porch because we're on a two-level, two-story home, and looking out on the porch, and it's very cloudy out there, but to the north of us, there were no clouds. So anyway, I'm out there, and I'm watching, and I thought I saw it, and I called my husband, and he comes running out from the bedroom, and he said, no, he said, that's just a star. It's the clouds that are moving. So we stood there, and we kept looking, and we were looking kind of like in different directions because we really didn't know exactly which way it would be coming.
Right.
So all of a sudden, he said, there it is. And I looked, and I said, you had said it was going to look like an orange ball, and then it would get brighter. And it didn't really look what I would say orange. It was bright and shiny. But it was like it was coming right towards us. And it was so low. It was so incredible. And it wasn't really fast, but it wasn't really slow. It moved rapid. And what was so fascinating, too, it left one of those trails. And after it got out of sight, you could just look up there in the sky and see this big white trail that it left, like somebody took a white marker.
Listen, dear, I'm glad you saw it. It's incredible. I'm glad I got the word out to you. I have got to go. The show is over. You get the honor. Say it.
Good night, America.
From the high desert. Good night, America.